Service Radio.
Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cauley. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host and the proprietors of Sun Cinema, David Cabrera and Ryan Hunter Mitchell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Jason.
Wow, that was perfect. That was well-timed.
That was the jam sesh from the front porch and Phantasm of, is it Jody and Reg?
Reg,
that's who we got. We've got friend of the cinema, friend of the podcast, Greg Kramer in here.
Hey guys,
he always gives us notes on how shitty each podcast is every week.
Absolutely,
and he's a big Phantasm fan. Jason is still in the lab right now. We're working out some of the electronics of him, and you know, we'll keep you guys updated on that. How's everyone's weekend?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you see?
I'm trying to think of what. Yeah, what did I see this week?
Some horror movies.
Saw some stuff at Suns. Friday night was Nightmare on Elm Street. It was great.
Great.
Saturday, or was that Saturday? Saturday was.
Yeah, Nightmare.
No, that was Nightmare on Elm Street. What was Friday?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the calendar.
You saw Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon was amazing.
Long.
Have you seen Qui-Gon?
Epic?
No. Yeah.
If you've got some hours.
If you got 3 hours. The funny story about that is, so we always build in an intermission, and I always try to find a good stopping point. There are some technical difficulties often because you have to cut it exactly on the second mark. You can't go in between the seconds, so sometimes it's like it kind of cuts off a scene, or sometimes it teases the next scene and then it goes. Anyways, in Qui-Gon, it's a 4 stories movie, and what I didn't find in my mad dash to try to get set up was that there was a built-in intermission after the second part. And so the way that it works is that, you know, it fades out from part 2, and then a screen pops up and says intermission, and then that fades out. And then you're supposed to, like, add the intermission there. So I didn't see that
the beforehand. Organ player is supposed to start playing.
So okay. That happened about 20 minutes before the intermission that I had set up, and so I had to just, like, out loud, like, no, it's... It's not intermission, actually. That's... Nope.
At Sun Cinema, we decide when we pause for the movie.
That's true.
I saw Venom, and oh boy, it lives up to everything. It's very terrible, like the Eddie Brock character. I don't know if Tom Hardy wasn't trying, or just the character was pretty rough, so who cares? But the movie's quite... It's entertainingly bad, and it's very funny. And if they didn't know they were making some like homosexual love story between the symbiote and
So that theory holds up.
It fully holds up, like as much as Nightmare on Elm Street 2, I would say. Like, I think it has to be thought of. Like, they had to have noticed it. It's kind of, and that part's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Greg, see anything?
I spent 8 hours in the dark in Ashburn, Virginia at the Dismember the Alamo.
Oh, damn. You saw a bunch.
Yeah, I saw a couple of AGFA specials. I guess that's something we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Including the, what is it, 2K restore of something called Fall Break, which was, I think, released on video as Mutilator. It's a very, very...
We'll hop into some Mutilator tunes later.
And then new 4K remaster of The Changeling and a couple other really bonkers... features.
Nice.
Well, right before that, you went to Suns, right?
I did go to Suns on Thursday.
What did you see there?
Let me see. Phantasm.
Phantasm.
Did it make you want to bust out your guitar and lay down some licks with Reg and Jody?
Oh, my lady. And put on my very small hat.
Yeah, let's talk Phantasm, because it's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to have someone on the show to talk about their experience watching a movie that's not just me and you or Jason.
I might have to turn around because I'm not used to talking movies with Ryan.
Okay.
With him behind me and me looking in a mirror. But I'll try.
So let's give a synopsis of Phantasm if anyone's willing
to. No, that's not possible.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's a really cool movie from 1978, 79? 70. Jason?
Nine.
79. How was the experience on last Thursday for it?
Yeah, so it was a full house, right? And there was a lot of debate after about... So I had two people that came up to... Well, one person came up to me at intermission and was just kind of annoyed at how funny people thought the movie was. Had a discussion with someone about suspending belief. I personally thought that the movie was cooler than it was funny. That was sort of my thesis. I thought the aesthetics and the music and the thrill held up more so than people thought in the room.
It looks pretty handmade.
Yeah.
Which I guess people are automatically find funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it holds up because you're right. It's much more cool than goofy. Like
this music.
Yeah. Well, the music is good, but also when it chooses to be scary, it does a good job of it.
Yeah,
totally.
And then it does have plenty of kind of jokes, gags all over the place. So you can goof off with it. Like there is room for that. But let me guess, they were just cracking up.
Yeah, I didn't think it was as funny as a comment that a friend said was, he was like, have these people never seen movies before? this is a constant. I mean, you probably listen to our show. This is something that I'm constantly trying to figure out how to from a proprietor standpoint. I always wonder, because I want everyone to have a good time. You don't want to be like a narky cop movie theater place telling people to shut up all the time, but also
you don't want to ruin it for other people.
I wasn't annoyed by it, but I absolutely noticed it, and I just thought it never occurred to me to find some of this stuff funny. There's a lot of it that was funny
that
deserves
a lot of laughter. Sure.
Well, I mean, most of it was the kind of borderline acting, but I mean that movie is It's a ride. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't follow from scene to scene much.
Oh no!
And I mean, it took them, I think, four movies to even try to justify why the hell the spheres are even in the movie. So I mean,
don't give that away.
It's there to be mocked.
Spoiler: there's a sphere.
It's on the post. Okay.
Speaking of a scene that some people might take as funny, but is also kind of cool, but pretty damn ridiculous. A finger that gets cut off and captured eventually matures into a large gremlin fly.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah, I mean, you treat a finger with embalming fluid, it's going to turn into a giant fly at some point.
I guess that's actually kind of true. But
it's natural.
But that scene is ridiculous. They like catch it in a shirt and then there's
trash the house.
There's a long ass scene of them just.
That was good physical acting also.
Yeah. You know? It's just them holding onto a shirt, trashing the house.
And then trying to jam it down the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Well, wait, let's. Okay, so they jam it down the garbage disposal and then.
Give up too soon.
And then Reg,
comes shows
in.
Up. Right.
Let's play that clip if we got it. I think I've got it.
Hey guys, I just thought I'd come over and see what was going on before the kids got out of summer school. Hey Mike, you want to ride along with me today? It's pretty warm outside and the ice cream's going to be flying fast and furious. Remember how good you were at crowd control last time? Hey, what's going on here?
So then they just have to bring it back to the garbage disposal.
Yeah. Reg cannot read a room, clearly.
And he stays this way throughout the whole movie. He's always like, nah, everything's fine. I'm not dealing with this.
I did appreciate the... We were talking about this beforehand. There's a scene... I should have got a clip for this. Where they enter this room, and it's the white room, and the bass is, like, so heavy. It filled the whole room at Suns, and everyone got real quiet, and, like, everyone was like, okay, taking this very seriously now. Sucked in. It was cool.
Not laughing now.
Not laughing now. There it is.
There we go.
You could feel it. It was cool. I was actually nervous that our neighbor was going to send us a text to turn the bass down.
I thought about it, too. Let's just keep this going the damn rest of the show. I'm getting a back massage right now. Okay, so the YouTube commenters, who are you can always go to for help in almost any scenario, kind of agree with you guys on... So Alyssa, I'll not say her last name, talks about the big fly in the garbage disposal scene. This scene used to crack me up as a kid, and still does. This whole movie cracks me up. How can you even take it seriously, LOL? But then... Some, like, I'm guessing younger YouTuber is like, man, I'm a kid. Older people, I like what you were growing up with.
That's amazing. I can say, having seen this at 10 years old the first time.
Whoa.
On my grandmother's HBO after they went to bed. Yeah, it was scary as hell.
Yeah.
So, wait, this... I want to clear this up right now. HBO... Only grandmothers had HBO, right?
It was only in, like, retirement communities in the early late 70s,
See?
Yeah.
Damn it. I knew it. They got all the prestige. So the pros of this movie for me is a great music, really cool haircuts, outfits, the silver orb.
Totally.
Obviously great. Gremlin fly. Tall man.
God, obviously. Guys. That guy just as a person is terrifying.
Yep, just passed last year.
Really?
Oh, damn. R.I.P.
And his first acting role, he played Abraham Lincoln in an educational movie, I think.
Whoa.
You can visualize that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that easy. Makes sense to me, actually.
Sounds better than what's-his-face? You know, the guy who's in the Spielberg one?
The Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, the guy from not Chicago, but the other, whatever, Nine? of Nine fame?
Keep talking around it.
Let's listen to that clip from the Mutilator that you just saw. I think it's called the worst credit opening ever.
It's important to preface this with most of what you've seen up to this point is a kid accidentally kill his mother and his father go instantly insane, beat him, threaten him with a gun, and then like offer a cocktail to his dead wife that he's propped up on the couch.
Cool.
So that pretty much leads into this very, very tense...
That's the beginning.
Yeah, a tense and foreboding theme song.
Strong start.
When the leaves of summer turn red and gold and the football games bring a hint of the cold, time to get away.
I need to see this movie.
I can't wait till Tom York does the new soundtrack.
With escape in mind, forgetting about classes, leaving books behind, time to get away. Empty cottage sitting on the shore, tourists all left about a month before, and we're gonna have a good time. Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
We're going on out.
A ball break, walking ball break. Hand in the moonlight.
And then it just kind of goes on like this.
So does the rest of the movie take that pace?
It really plays like a romantic coming-of-age film that they didn't know what to do with, so they recut it as a horror movie.
That's
but,
so
I mean,
cool.
It's got, you know, it was pretty controversial. It got butchered because of some...
Got mutilated.
I think one of the special effects guys went on to do video, or had done, or went on to do Videodrome.
Cool.
So they had some serious people on this thing, but yeah.
So this is from the AGFA, right?
AGFA.
Which we're just starting to use them, and they're a really cool weirdo distributor.
I get excited just when I like go to their website because they just have such a. I mean, one of the most fun things about doing programming at Suns is, like, finding weird shit. And, you know, I feel like they're just a treasure chest of that kind of thing. They actually reached out. So it's an offshoot of Draft House Films distribution. And now they reached out to us some time ago because we had worked with Draft House Films for The Visitor and Miami Connection, both of which are now in the AGFA catalog. But yeah, in September, I was like, I really want to like do some weird shit. And then I came across their site, and they have upgraded their catalog significantly with much weird stuff. So yeah.
It's American Phantasm. Genre Film Archive.
Yeah. And we did Reanimator. And then Thursday we're doing Ninja Zombie, which I'm very excited about. And then the following Thursday, the first Argento movie, The Crystal Plumage. And there's just so many more in that catalog.
They go by genre. You can like pick through exploitation, horror, art house, et cetera, et cetera. I just typed in horror just to see what shows up. I'm just going to read through the A's and B's here. Alien Zone, a.k.a. House of the Dead. Bag Boy Lover. Basket Case. The Bees, which could be good for later. Anyways. Yeah. Beyond the Seventh Door. Beyond the Darkness. The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. Birdemic. Oh, we all... Shock and Terror.
Almost showed. Have you seen Birdemic?
No, but everybody I trust said what you said last week, that after 10 minutes, it gets old.
That was Ryan's call. Yeah. Thought about doing that one.
It looks so bad. We should do a double feature of that, and if you last through both, you get a free Malort.
Mariel knows someone that's in that movie, so there would be... Have them come do a talk. Oh. Woof.
Black Cat, Black Magic 2, Blackenstein... that goes under blaxploitation or horror. Blind Woman's Sounds Curse, right. Blood and Black Lace.
Blood and Black Lace is great. We did show that.
Blood Beat, Blood Feast, Blood Harvest, Blood Rage, Blood Suckers from Outer Space, Bloody Moon, Blue Vengeance. I would have expected more blood.
Yeah.
So they've been around for a couple of years. Greg, you said you've gone to a couple little fests.
I think 2015 was the first time I heard of them.
We should tell them that we talked about this. So we should get some free swag or something for this. Right?
Yeah. Or free movies.
Free movies?
Yeah, something.
It might be more useful.
Do they do the Troma stuff, or is Troma all someone else?
We get Troma stuff through a company that has Fox stuff as well. But so, no.
All right.
But similar vein, that's a good way of sort of letting people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, if you're up for... I mean, these have been doing pretty well, too. So there's a weirdo audience who's up for these, for totally. Kind of campy movies, Greg included. I want to move on to something.
You can borrow our Ninja Zombie DVD if you want.
I may take you up on that.
Yeah.
So
glad we covered that.
Let's get enough of the weird stuff. If you guys come on the show, you can borrow our DVDs.
Yeah. Borrow.
Yeah, I want to get into something a little more serious and a little more artistic, to be honest. Maybe some of you guys have heard of Masterclass. Maybe you've gotten ads on Facebook about them. But the basic idea is that there are these online classes taught by the world's greatest minds. And these include a lot of celebrities that maybe we know of. For instance, Malcolm Gladwell teaches writing. Annie Leibovitz teaches photography. Margaret Atwood teaches dystopian creative writing. But I want to move on to the filmmakers here. And we've got Ken Burns, who...
Allegedly Ken Burns.
Allegedly Ken Burns, who's directed such hits as Baseball, Jazz. What else has he made 9-hour documentaries on? Every War.
Every War.
Every War.
Is there another sport?
Other than war?
Did he do another sport?
I'm sure he's done one on just like pitching. He's on a 4-hour documentary on pitching. Anyways,
just
now he
throw
has
out
a,
nouns.
He has a master class on... He teaches American stuff. It seems like American history, but he's got a master class on making documentaries now. Let's play a little bit of the ad from that if we can, Jack.
I believe it is the artist's responsibility to lead people into hell.
What?
But I also believe it's important to lead the way out.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, good.
We are in a renaissance of documentary. People are realizing that there is as much drama in what is and what was as anything that the human imagination dreams of.
All right, I want to start reading some of the comments. Can we just keep this a little quiet in the background? That haircut is a drama on its own. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should preface this with. So you clicked on this because
I clicked on this because he's got to be wearing a hairpiece and it looks ridiculous. He looks like Elmo Ramon. Like it looks like it's so. I was like, you know, I like Ken Burns. What the hell? Who let this happen? And I clicked on it, and all the other comments, if anyone wants to have a go at these, like one person says, I've just come into the comment section to see if anybody said anything about that hairpiece.
Wow, these are...
They're brutal.
He never got over his Beatles fixation. Poor guy. Now he's 70, and even Ringo is embarrassed to look at him.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Wow. That's a good one.
I honestly thought he was Isabella Rossellini at first. So we've taken down a lot of directors, yeah. I think. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah. Is there another Anderson?
Lonnie Anderson. Ken Burns now. You've come to the chopping block of the Sun Cinema podcast. My favorite one is Ken Burns out here looking like a damn monkey's lunchbox.
What's the one about the bludgeon?
Oh, wait. Yeah. I love this guy and everything he puts out, but he needs a bludgeon his barber.
Wow.
The best war documentary maker of all time. But that's got to be a wig, right? All right, so these are the...
Do you think he reads those? Like,
damn it. I hope he doesn't. Like, I hope he's above the comments. I hope Ken Burns isn't scrolling through the comments seeing if he got roasted.
Oh, that'd be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably too busy, like, compiling letters from, like, the... Ken Starr trial so you can make a 6-hour documentary about it.
Probably.
So what have we got coming up this week?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's go into that. Let's go into stuff the future.
The future. Tonight we are doing a screening of a movie called Burkina Rising. It's part of Jim Thompson's Multiflora Productions series that he's doing this month.
That's going alongside it's his going music fest.
It's going alongside a music festival. There are going to be some speakers there tonight, or there's going to be like a Q&A tonight. I believe someone that's involved in the film, could be wrong about that. Tomorrow night is a movie called Lacho Drome. It's about like gypsies and it's another one that's like we showed the Ethiopian one last week that was. Or, yeah, no, 2 weeks ago. That was pretty much just visual, no narration. It was just a bunch of different tribes doing different, like, rituals and music cool. and so forth. And
kind
my understanding
video
is...
Video essay?
Yeah, and my understanding is this one is similar to that. Thursday is Ninja Zombie, which we've been talking about at length.
You fucker.
I don't have the calendar in front of me. Friday is not Tetsuo. We just did Tetsuo. It's not I Saw the Devil. It's, Wild Zero.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Shit, why don't we have any clips from Wild Zero right
yeah.
now? Yeah. They just yell rock and roll a lot. If anyone hasn't seen... Have you seen Wild Zero?
No. Oh, Wild Zero is great.
Oh.
So there's a
huge,
drinking...
Huge movie.
Wild Zero has a... a drinking game built in.
I'm gonna look up some of the rules. If you
it's taking its statements and it's taking its viewpoints very seriously.
Yeah, it does actually. So the drinking game, you have to drink every time fire shoots out of something. Somebody says rock and roll, which all of these things happen a lot. Somebody combs their hair, somebody drinks, something explodes, or if a zombie's head pops. And this is like, last time we did this, I made it about 10 minutes in, and I was
yeah, like, you're trashed.
I can't play this.
Real movie stars, real serious actors don't do this stuff.
good.
It's
speaking of treasure chests of so many.
Wait, Jack, any chance we could play this? I just added a link at the bottom of at the very bottom of that, of just a rock and roll scene from Wild Zero. That is the tunes of Guitar Wolf, yeah, the protagonist's band in the movie.
Drink.
You gotta drink. I think just if we play the whole scene, we'll be drunk.
It sounds like the zombies pop.
Might have been Lock and Load, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Those magic guitar picks.
You know, I'm not really watching it, but I'm just gonna go with your visual on it. I'm assuming those are magic guitar picks. There's a dog.
Sounds like it. Wow.
We have a dog on the show today.
Special guest.
Who let the dogs out? Am I right?
We're in.
Wow.
Yes. And then next
Saturday is Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
What's left to be said about Evil Dead?
Well, it's kind of like it had to be an influence on Cabin in the Woods, would you say?
Definitely.
Doesn't that director have a new movie?
He does. Good segue.
Has anyone seen it? Has anyone seen the new movie?
I have.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Tell us a bit. What director is it?
It's Drew Goddard of Cabin in the Woods, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame, wrote Cloverfield and The Martian.
He wrote them? Did he direct them?
No, Ridley Scott did The Martian, and I can't remember who directed Cloverfield. I should know that. Directed or produced, I can't remember.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway, and he executive produces The Good Place.
Mm. Oh. Just starting on that. Very good show.
Yep.
Digging it. But yeah, he just did the El Royale, right?
Yeah, which is, it's long, but it's also really, it's good, and it's best to not watch the trailers, in part because there is kind of a, not Cabin in the Woods, but there is more going on than what it appears, but the trailer definitely suggests that it's more of a left turn than maybe Cabin in the Woods was.
So the trailer I've seen doesn't actually spoil too much. It just shows that it has all the things that could make a good movie. It's got like...
Oh, absolutely.
Chris Hemsworth.
Without a shirt.
Yeah, it's got like a lot of attractive people, Jeff Bridges. It has like a cool style to it. Looks well shot. So I'm kind of on this way. It crosses the boxes.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. John Hamm's southern accent alone is worth the price of admission.
But the movie itself is actually good?
Real solid, and I think it's one of those that gets better on more watchings.
That should be like an official review, the John Hamm his southern accent.
Yeah. I hope you get quoted.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
If we ever show that movie, we're going to quote you on that. That's part of the...
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But, it's absolutely worth seeing. And worth seeing in a theater, too. I mean, it's gorgeous. And they apparently built the entire lobby set from scratch because they couldn't find any real hotel that was good enough and that they could basically destroy. And it really just... calls up an era, as they say. But, it's really, really worth seeing.
All right. Well... So on Saturday, during Evil Dead, there's a reason you won't be able to make it, David. And that's because...
Our guest is almost here to talk about that, but...
Do you want to talk about the Sun Cinema
aspect of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So Saturday, I'll be doing some projections for... There's a event called Punk in the Produce that is going to be taking place at Best World. It's going to be a punk show with three different bands, hoping to benefit Best World, sort of help them do some cleanup, and they could use some help in general.
We're always plugging this grocery store down the street from. Yeah. If you listen to this podcast from not DC, actually, even if you are in DC, you're probably like, what the hell is Best World? And it's just our neighborhood market that's like the largest grocery store on Mount Pleasant Street. And it's got what you need, and they could use some help from the community. So some people were kind of trying to help out.
Yeah, so there's going to be a DJ. There's going to be three bands, including Priests, Park Snakes, Los Gallos Negros. And then Marielle and I have been working on some projections, which include mostly like old produce commercials and a lot of clips from Supermarket Sweep, some music videos that include grocery stores.
S-Mart, maybe from Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be on the inside or on the outside
this
wall?
This is going to be on the inside.
Ah, same. I wonder how Subway would feel about that.
Robin Bell, I think, is going to be doing projections outside.
So, yeah, friend of the podcast. For those of you not in D.C., you might be more familiar with the work of Robin Bell.
That's
He's
true.
Always bothering the hell out of the Supreme Court and the White House and Trump Hotel by projecting on the buildings things that they probably don't want out. So, Robin, a little context. Before he was bugging everyone with his vigilante projections all over the Supreme Court and such, he projects onto the side of the building of Best World and a Subway sandwiches that's there that we're not friends with. So he projects a lot of like either activism or just like when Prince died.
No, I was gonna say, when Prince died, he put on Purple Rain, I think, or something.
So he just puts like kind of community, fun community things.
Yeah, totally.
And he'll be projecting on the outside that
night.
So
he'll be doing that, yeah. And the show's like already sold out. I imagine that's more about Priests being on the bill than anything else. They're pretty popular,
right? Yeah, they're pretty
big.
Greg, do you ever go to Best World? We have to kill time before Mariel gets here and can actually talk about this segment.
Where else in the world can you get a liter of Valentina hot sauce for like $2?
There we go.
For the people in the back, where else can you get a liter of Valentino hot sauce?
It's true.
No, they have all. They
people often say that though when we talk about this, like they talk about the hot sauces. That's
I think you can get like a liter of sriracha for like $1.50. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you can just get all the hot sauces.
Do they have other stuff?
They have some various other sauces.
Yeah, they do have other sauces.
I can endorse their pot stickers too.
Yeah. Pot stickers are good.
Yeah, they actually do have those. No, the place is great, and since I've been in the neighborhood, 11 so years, they really do kind of cater to whoever they can in the neighborhood.
And that's true.
It's pretty broad. They've got everything from, like, almond milk creamer and et cetera, to Valentina hot sauce by the gallon.
And, I mean, we get our popcorn from them sometimes.
Yeah, we got our popcorn. If you've had some popcorn.
If you like our popcorn, then you like Best World.
All right,
talk about Sunday. Sunday we're doing a screening of The Phantom Carriage, which is a Swedish movie from 1921, right?
Yeah, and it's a really creepy kind of existential silent horror film, but it's going to be live musical accompaniment from a local improvisational string and synthesizer musician, Praxis Cat.
Yeah.
I've seen her play in a few trios around town. She does really interesting, creepy music. It's going to be so good. And she specifically, this is one of the ones she had recommended because she's a real big fan of it.
Yeah.
And she's been inspired in her music by silent film and silent film scores. So if you've ever wanted to see a really creepy silent movie with an even creepier live score, this is the first time for us at Sun, so it's going to be a cool experience.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, we talked about, like, before we had a business plan, this was something that we were like, would be so cool.
It would be so cool if we got someone in to play live creepy music to a silent movie.
Yeah. And so we're going to do that.
Yeah, so now and if it works well, we'll do it for Gremlins in December.
Oh, man. There are so many options. We should do a month of all that.
So if you want to see a month of all that, you guys got to come to this one.
Support
on Sunday.
This one and then submit your suggestion for a future screening with
The Quiet Place.
The Quiet Place.
Please. You need something to make that damn movie any better.
Wackety Sax?
I haven't seen this.
What is Wackety Sax?
The
Wackety Sax.
Oh, over a quiet place.
Got it. Yeah. I thought that was the name of a movie.
No, sorry. Well, probably.
It should be.
It should be. Yeah.
I'd see it.
All right, come on.
Good save, Jack.
You want to put her on speakerphone?
The YouTube description for this is self-explanatory.
Was this Benny Hill? Was this a Benny Hill song?
I was going to say, someone needs to be in a bikini chased around the table.
Have you seen that music fest that Dolly Parton plays? Dolly plays in the UK somewhere, and it's like a giant, you know, stadium. And she's like, you know, I wanted to play some British music. And she gets on sax and plays Wackety Sax or whatever, and then plays it in reverse.
What?
Dolly.
Dolly Parton plays is a god we do not deserve. And she just trolls the UK by playing the Benny Hill theme song.
It's kind of the original Rick roll, isn't it?
It's the Hill roll. And if we can get a big round of applause for Mariel being here and saving segment three of this show.
Hey, how's it going?
Tell us about Punk and the Produce.
We kind of talked about it.
Never mind that we just talked about it, but you tell us about it. We want to hear you.
Yeah, definitely. So it's part of this initiative that I've been talking about on the show a little bit. We are a nonprofit located in Mount Pleasant, the neighborhood just next to Adams Morgan here at the Lion Hotel. And as part of this initiative, we've been working to save Best World Supermarket, which is a local small-run grocery store here in our neighborhood. And as part of this, we're hosting a fundraiser with Priests, Park Snakes, Los Gallos Negros, DJ, YouTube Comments, my friend Sam Gordon will be there.
We've been doing a lot of talking about YouTube Comments, actually.
He's an excellent film critic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a YouTube Comments section. You know, I don't know. It could be a scary place, but also be a place of hope, I think.
Say scary or funny.
Yeah.
We must watch very different videos.
Yeah. If you know that hope is gone, it's a good place to just get a good laugh at it.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so, you know, Sons will be playing some videos there as well. I think grocery themed. Have you guys talked about that at all?
We did. Yeah.
Any good inspo?
I didn't drop any specific.
No hints?
No spoilers.
No spoilers?
You can throw one out. What are you?
Well, I found a great video. Yeah, because, you know, Michael Jackson used to do all these home videos. But there's one of him going grocery shopping, which is pretty
cool.
Yeah. we'll be doing the show this Saturday. It'll be from 9 to probably about 1 a.m. And we're closing down the supermarket, and we're setting up in the produce section of the supermarket. So
we went there yesterday, actually, and it was there was a crew of us trying to figure out some of the logistics. And it was the reception of that was very interesting. I guess it is a pretty weird thing, based on the reactions. We got some serious shade.
Yeah.
From who?
It's a lady who, I don't know, we were kind of, you know, grouped in the produce section, and this woman comes in, and she just kind of, like, pushes her way through and just has this look of utter disgust and, like, anger on her face. And she goes, "I'm trying to go grocery shopping."
She's like, "I just want to shop here."
How big of a... Well, ultimately, we kind of do want people to be able to shop, right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I wanted to say, well, if you don't let us do this, you're not going to be able to...
Yeah. Good point.
So we posted the tickets in the event last Monday, and we sold out by Friday, I would say afternoon, more or less. And
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Hoo-da-hoo.
So... we sold about 100 tickets, and we have, I think, 5 left at our hero round. The 3 rounds of tickets were lime, jalapeno, and avocado, all at different prices.
Ah.
And so, and then all we have left is our hero tickets, which are 500 a piece, but it's all going to a good cause.
Man, I hope Priest puts on a good show.
But we've gotten a lot of great feedback from the community. Everyone's really excited. Everyone's really interested in seeing this
happen. If there's any heroes here at the Line Hotel sitting right now,
looking for a good cause to contribute to, check out Brown Paper Tickets, Punk in the Produce. And so everyone's really excited about it. We've gotten really good feedback from the community, and it's going to be cool. I think, we're going to see how this goes. And one of my hopes is that we can kind of continue to do this series at, you know, different levels to make it accessible to the community and turn it into, you know, an art and music space for the community.
That would be
awesome. Really cool.
Yeah. So if we come up with the most backwards ideas, our group of friends. Right now, we got this idea for a movie theater. We're going to put it in a living room, and there's going to be a bar, and you got to squeeze next to people who are going to laugh too much, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, we could set up, no, we'll just move the avocados. We'll have the band play
a lot
here.
More than the avocados.
Yeah, I was talking to Ames, and she, you know, I was like, well, do you know anyone who might be interested in doing some art performance pieces or something like that in the grocery store? And she goes, yeah, I think it'd be great. I know this one group, they do performance dance, and I think their most recent work was they set up a small square, probably like 5x5, and then they did a dance routine inside of the square, and they called it Tiny Dance.
Nice.
And I was like, that sounds perfect for a grocery store. What else would you do in there?
Yeah, what else
you
got?
I'm actually in heaven.
What other ideas you got?
You know, at the Lamont Collective, like it used to be a group house in Mount Pleasant right down the street from Best World.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago at there, remember they would do these like Salon de Libertad? They would have this event.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have music, mm-hmm. art, performance all day. And there was a dance troupe who all dressed like fruits and vegetables.
Oh, my gosh.
And they did this whole routine that was pretty impressive. It was kind of like a comedy act.
Do you have their number?
You know, I don't even know anyone who lives. No one lives there anymore. Yeah. It's like condos now.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real reason behind saving Best World. It's just more condos if we don't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to create a community space where you know, everyone can come and enjoy and benefit from the things that we can offer. So
we can all dance in the produce.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else we got?
Do we?
Wackety Sax. It's been a good show. Thanks for listening to the Sun.
Thanks
podcast.
To Greg for being on our show.
Yeah, Greg, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.